it up, you know, if you're on the far side of that, of the moon, but it'll be, you know, very bright over there during that day period. So, but then, eventually that becomes all dark when it moves all the way around again in another 2 weeks. That far side of the moon will become dark, and then, of course, the spacecraft will not be able to operate. And what you said is true. At that point, the solar panels will not be able to charge that vehicle. Back to you, John.
Comment.
One blue ghost will always be up and running.
At 14 days, and then the next one that goes up, they do on the third one, they do plan on having that one operate through the night. You know, that's going to be more of an elaborate system, which means big time batteries and all. You know, who knows? I mean, they have plans on making it through the nighttime. And I think I heard Brian in there again. Back to you, Brian. Was that you?
Hi, KF2CC for station ID. Yeah, no, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think that the moon doesn't rotate, but it in fact rotates just fine. Everything is in synchronous, so when everything is in sync, you only see the, you call it the near side versus the far side, but they both get equal amounts of light. So if you put a spacecraft on the far side, it's going to get the same amount of light, you know, just different times. So, you know, I just wanted just to mention that because the moon's gravity is approximately 1/6 that of Earth. So even though it does rotate, and because it's tidally locked with Earth, that's what gives us our, you know, our tides and so on and so forth. Back to you.
Yeah, what is it, 27 and a little bit more than that for it to go all the way around the Earth. So yeah, the rotation of the moon would be at 27 days. It takes 27 Earth days for it to rotate once. That's a good way to put it, Brian. And look at the space station too, you know. People know that, well, that follow the space station, that the crew could always go to the cupola windows, you know, those big windows, and look, stare out the windows, and they could look down at Earth, and they could see the Earth daytime, nighttime, they could, but it's always facing the Earth. And a lot of people that follow it don't realize that the space station itself actually it does rotate. You know, for every 9 minutes, that space station is going around the Earth. So, and it comes back again every 90 minutes, or an hour, every hour and a half. So what's happening is the space station is always looking at the ground, no matter what, as it goes all the way around the Earth. But for the space station to do that, the space station itself is actually rotating in place, you know, and it takes 9 minutes for that space station to make a full turn. But because it's always doing it as it's going around the Earth, it's always staring at the Earth. So if you go into the cupola and you look down, whether it's nighttime or daytime on the Earth, you're always looking at the Earth. You're never looking at, you know, at the whatever would be above you at the time, you know, galaxies and stars. You're always looking down, and that's just the way it's set up. And the same with solar panels. Solar panels are rotating as well every 90 minutes. So they're on these big spinning gadgets. The contraption of each direction of the solar panels is rotating on, they call it the Sarge. There's one on the port side, one on the starboard side. So the panels, you know, each one's like, you know, 240 feet long and 40 feet wide. They're rotating every 90 minutes. Because, you know, you want the panels to always face the sun. And I'm running out of time. Look at this. Over to you, Brian. Back to you.
I find interesting is why they didn't put the ISS into a geosynchronous orbit.
First of all, very expensive to do something like that because it takes a lot more energy to get that thing out to 23,000 miles. The other reason they don't want to do that is because you're not being protected radiation-wise. If you're at 250 miles where they are now above the Earth, you're well within the protection of the magnetosphere and all of that. And if you go a little higher, let's say you go to, you know, 5,000 miles, that's no good either, because now you're into the Van Allen belt. That's heavy radiation, you know, so you can't stay there for long. You know, you do get to the Van Allen belt if you're going to the moon, but it's a short period of time, and they figure on that. But you're not there 24 hours a day. So the most practical place to put the space station would be at where it is now. Back to you, Brian.
Those are very good points, actually. I know what you're speaking about, and I totally agree with you. Interesting concept. But they still get a lot of radiation inside the ISS. They don't have any, like, thin lead shielding, very, very thin, that can help stop that, do they?
They have the aluminum, each one of those cylinders, each one is like as big as a room, is aluminum. Actually, it's a double wall of aluminum. The inside is separated by around 4 inches before you get to the outside. So each one has got, on a big side. But yeah, it's double aluminum skin helping prevent any kind of radiation. And then you have the micrometeorite shields. And you hit that, it looks like it's a soft stuff all over the space station. If that was just metal, it would ding it up pretty good. But this blanket type material helps protect the space station with little pieces of sand that, you know, that might be going at, you know, 40,000 miles an hour. It really helps. All kinds of protection has been designed into that. And I hope it keeps going. I mean, they're talking about 2031. You know, having a new orbit and all. I think they could keep that going longer. We'll see. Any other comments before we close?
I can't understand why they heard it.
I'm glad the crew got back, by the way. Crew 9.
That's crazy. You want to win
Williams and
keep it up there.
Butch Wilmore, of course, we all saw that on the news. If you watch any kind of news, and hams are really good at watching news, they came back successfully with Haig and the Russian, and that's good. And before they came back, the other crew went up to replace them. That's crew 4. They're up there right now. With Anna McLean is the commander on that flight going up. And she's there with another woman and two other guys. So they replaced the port that came down. And that's called Crew 10. With that, I'm going to turn this back over to Roy, unless somebody has any last comments, you know, quick comments before we close. WS2S.
One thing.
Were you saying 73 or another comment, Brian? I missed.
Do you know what the Russian astronaut had for dessert before he came back to Earth?
Good question. Gosh, I have no idea. I hope it's a joke. Back to you, Brian.
He had Rice Putin.
I knew that. It had to be a joke. Very good. Very good. I didn't want to ask what the American would have to have. Oh, my gosh. Very good. We'll be back next week, hopefully. And as far as being on the air tomorrow, I'll probably try to make the 8:30 my mock club meeting that comes on at that time on these repeaters, and that's always followed by George with the Swapper Chop, and then of course the Newsline. See what they have to say. Find out what's new in the world with amateur radio. Roy, over to you. AC2GS WS2N for the SpaceNet report for the TechNet.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for the technical net that you help me with. And thank you for all that you do for the club. We all appreciate it. I especially appreciate it. I appreciate everyone who participated tonight. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you learned a few things. And I hope you'll join us next Sunday at 8 p.m. when we try and do this all over again. So as always, I'd like to remind you of a couple of great lines, one from Dick K2RAW. Be kind to each other was how he ended his technical mess, and that's always good advice. I always like to add, good old Epictetus, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So try and keep your mind open to new ideas, but don't let it be open wide enough that your brain might fall out, because you really do need that. Anyway, have a great week. Stay safe, be well, and please, if you can, come back next Sunday when we do this all over again. This is AC2GS formally closing this particular episode of the Limark Technical Net, and I will be clear after I say, Slava Ukraini.
I know a neurologist. Her name is Sarah Bellum.
Okay. Gonna try ending it on one last joke, eh, Brian?
I'm trying.
Okay. Better jokes than sad things.
I want to thank the both of you very, very much, and it was a very enjoyable evening. Take care. Sub-A3s.
You're welcome, Brian, and I do appreciate your participation on the technical net. It adds an interesting difference than the average net from years ago.
I appreciate the comment. Thank you very much, Rory.
Until next week, enjoy your day. 73 Charlie, have a good one.